So a very short and simple parable, right? The first house that Jen and I bought had a garden in the backyard that was overgrown when we moved in. And I never had a garden before, and I kind of thought, you know, that'd be kind of nice to have fresh vegetables whenever we want them. So let's give it a shot. Let's see if we can do this. So we cleaned it up, and we planted tomatoes, green beans, onions, peppers, and squash. Now, I didn't know anything about gardening, especially how many seeds to plant. So I thought, you know, six squash plants? It was like a 4x6 garden. It wasn't huge. One every foot, six squash plants, that sounds about right. You know, we like to eat squash, so the six, that's like, well, that'll grow us about maybe 12 squash. Any ever planted squash before? They exploded. Each plant grew like at least three or four squash on them, and they got so big and just kept growing and growing. So much squash, it just kept coming and coming. We're eating squash almost every night. We're giving it away to our neighbors, and we finally reached the point where we said, okay, that's it. We've had enough. We can't give it away anymore. Nobody else wants it. We just don't need anymore. So I raised the plants down to the ground, and they grew back. That season, they grew back and grew more squash. We could not get rid of it. It took over the entire garden, all from these tiny little seeds. And that's kind of how we have traditionally understood Jesus' parable of the mustard seed, that God's kingdom starts small. Have you ever seen a mustard seed before? I've got one. There's no way you can see it in this bag. It's like this tiny little seed there. But God's kingdom starts small and then explodes and grows into something unexpected and huge. That God can use even the smallest seeds to do something big. That's how we've traditionally understood it. Earlier this year, when our daughter Emily was diagnosed with juvenile arthritis, the preschool that she goes to wanted to do something to help, to show that they cared. So someone came up with the idea that throughout the month of February, all the different classes, there were like six or seven classes, they would collect pennies. And at the end of the month, they would take all the money they collected and donate it to the Arthritis Foundation to help kids with arthritis. So this past Monday, we went to the school, and all the kids were gathered in the gym where they brought all the money and they put it all together. They counted it all up. Seven big containers filled with pennies, and it turned out other change that ended up totaling almost $300 from these preschool kids. You know, the smallest seeds turning into something big that is going to help other people. And that's how we often understand that last line, where Jesus says, he talks about this tiny mustard seed growing into the greatest of shrubs and becoming a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. That God can use the tiniest seeds to grow something big that provides for others. Right, so this is how we've traditionally understood this. Something small turns into something huge that God uses to provide for others. But there is a whole lot more going on beneath the surface here that Jesus' audience would have picked up on when he was talking about it. So Jesus starts off by saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven. A lot of times we hear that and our minds go right to heaven, you know, with clouds where God lives, and we go to be with God after we die. We have that association. But Jesus was not talking about heaven in that sense. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven. In the other Gospels, when this parable is told, Jesus refers to the kingdom of God. So the thinking here is that Matthew was either a Jewish Christian and or he was writing to an audience that was predominantly Jewish, Jews who had become Christians. Traditional Jewish theology holds the name of God to be so sacred, so holy, that you didn't even say it. You don't speak the name of God. And so Matthew, to avoid offending his Jewish audience or his own Jewish sensibilities, instead of saying the kingdom of God, says the kingdom of heaven. But either way, kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, it's talking about the same thing. It's the realm of God's rule. It is where God holds power and authority, whether it is in heaven where God rules or on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says that God's kingdom, the realm of God's rule, is like a mustard seed that grows into a shrub. It's not exactly what his audience would have been expecting. Because when they talked about the great kingdoms that surrounded them, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, they compared them to the cedars of Lebanon. This is something that we see all throughout the Hebrew scriptures. The powerful kingdoms of the world are compared to the cedars of Lebanon, the biggest, strongest, most majestic trees that anyone knew of. In fact, when Jesus says here that the birds of the air will make nests in its branches, that's actually a quote from Ezekiel, where Ezekiel is comparing the kingdom of Assyria to the cedars of Lebanon. So it's like if we said America is like a great redwood tree, you know, strong, sturdy, mighty, majestic, towering above everything else. But the kingdom of God is like a mustard shrub. It's kind of disappointing in comparison. Jesus is saying here that the kingdom of God is not like the kingdoms of the world. They have to impress you with their power and their strength, their might and their majesty, their outward appearance. The kingdom of God might not look like much. It doesn't overwhelm you or overpower you. Author Richard Lisher says it this way. He says, Jesus is refusing to clothe his kingdom in the grandiosity of ancient empires. It's not that sort of kingdom. It lies hidden in ordinary acts of obedience and extraordinary gestures of love. The kingdom of God lies hidden in ordinary acts of obedience and extraordinary gestures of love. Mother Teresa used to say, there are no great things, only small things done with great love. And Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven is like that. It might look small and simple, but it's potent, like mustard. It's a different kind of powerful. Its power is not on display for everyone to see, to impress or intimidate people. Rather, it is hidden in ordinary acts of obedience and extraordinary gestures of love. God uses the ordinary to do something extraordinary. Something as ordinary as a mustard seed to represent an extraordinary kingdom. Something as ordinary as a small piece of bread and a small cup of juice to remind us of God's extraordinary love for us. Something as ordinary as you and me to share God's love in extraordinary ways with the world. This past week, we mentioned earlier, our oldest member, Gene Andrews, died at 100 years old. And most of you did not know Gene. You never had a chance to meet her because she was never able to come here due to her health. But a lot of you know Gene's story. Almost 2 years ago, completely out of the blue, we get a phone call here in the office from this woman who said, I'm 99 years old. I live by myself. I don't have any family in the area. I am very, very alone. I was wondering if someone could come visit me and hold my hand. So I went over to see her and spent a couple of hours with her just talking and holding her hand. And she told me that she would sometimes go days without seeing or talking to another human being. Days. So a few days later, I went back and took Ann Roberts with me. And then a little while after that, Ann Roberts went back and took Marianne McLennan with her. And then Marianne came back and took Kathy Johnson with her. And then David Sheep and Nancy Higgins came into the mix, and people started bringing her food throughout the week because she just didn't have the strength to make anything herself. And people would talk to her or visit her several times throughout the week and try to space it out to minimize the amount of time that she had to be alone. A year ago, a group of us gathered in her living room and welcomed her into membership in the life of the church. We reaffirmed the promises of her baptism, because even though she couldn't be here with us, she was a part of the life of this church. She was a part of this family, and we wanted to celebrate that with her. When she turned 100 last May, you all overwhelmed her with cards. Many of them saying, "I don't know you and you don't know me, but we are both a part of this family, and so I just want to wish you a happy birthday." That meant more to her than you will ever be able to know. She would say over and over again, "You all are such a blessing to me. I don't know what I did to deserve this." Through these simple, ordinary acts of care, you all surrounded this woman with extraordinary love over the last 2 years of her life so that she was not alone. You welcomed her into your hearts and gave her a home and a family. Because the kingdom of God is not just for us, for those who are here and a part of the life of the church. It's for those who are outside, those who are far away and alone, so they can be welcomed into the loving shelter of God. And that's what Jesus is getting at when he says that the mustard seed grows into a tree where the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. That phrase, birds of the air, doesn't really mean anything to us, like birds, right? Why not just say birds? But that phrase actually had special significance to the people of Israel, because when Hebrew scripture talks about the birds of the air, it's not talking about nice birds like doves or something like that. It's a term used to refer to birds that are unclean. Birds that you did not touch and you certainly did not eat. Birds like vultures that are scavengers. And that phrase, birds of the air, it ended up becoming a common metaphor, a way of speaking about people who were not Jewish. Outsiders. People you didn't associate with. People who were outside of the kingdom of God. Jesus says here that the kingdom of God is for them. Now, his audience might have been offended by this. The kingdom of God is a scrubby little shrub that gives shelter to the unclean? No, it is a mighty towering tree where we find shelter and love and belonging. And so many times that's how we treat the kingdom of God and the church. That it's for us. But Jesus is saying it's for everybody. And our calling is to go out into the world and show the world through simple, ordinary acts of great love that the kingdom of God is for them. That there's room for them in these branches. That they can find love, acceptance, a home, a family, a place where they belong. They can find shelter and provision, and a deep connection with God and with other people. Who is our next Gene? Who is outside that we can welcome in with open arms? Who is alone and afraid and hungry and in need of a place that they can call home and people that they can call family? The point is not to build up our church. The point is to build up the kingdom of God. To welcome as we have been welcomed. To love as we have been loved. How will you plant these seeds so that the kingdom of God can grow.